John Angle James said, "How soothing is it to a godly parent amid all the solicitude he feels for his children to recollect that he has referred them to Jehovah as a God of providence and grace, both in his closet and at the domestic altar." Can somebody say amen? I like that term, the domestic altar. "Whether at home or abroad, this is his consolation, that he has committed them to the Lord and made them the witnesses of the act of surrender." And by the way, I have some grown children who are doing quite well, and I give God the glory, praise, and honor, but they are still, like all of us, are going through the breaking process. They have to learn to fully 100% surrender. For in youth, and particularly if you have Jamaican Chinese blood running through you, you have some stubbornness in you that God has to break and help you to become humble. That is Jamaican, Chinese, and Negro blood. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know. Those of you who don't have a clue, you get it by freight. But God has to take all of us, unfortunately, through a breaking process. There's a way that we can avoid that by listening to wise counsel, but that oftentimes is not the case. I know of an old pastor. If I said his name, many of you would know him. He was a true pastor. He recognized that one of his proteges was not going to listen, so he didn't tell him anything. And he just chalked it up. He's going to have to learn it the hard way. He's going to have to be broken the hard way. And being broken is hard, by the way. Holy Father God, help all of us to appreciate and to be thankful for the domestic altar and to use it every day and allow ourselves to be put on the sacrifice table to be crushed and broken so that we will surrender to you. And it will be a beautiful thing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. This is a passage that my family and I have read for 30 years. And I suspect that many other families need to hear as well. And maybe you don't have to read it every day. I hope that you have a godly, joyful, submissive wife, sir, and that you are a loving and caring husband, and that's wonderful. But for many, that's not the case, and we need to be reminded from the Word of God on our regarding our duties and responsibilities in marriage so that the marriage can last. And again, hats off to the Queen and her husband. 70 years of marriage. What a testimony. 70 years of marriage. Most folks don't make it to 70 years in life. And they've been married for 70 years. May God bless them through it all. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Dr. Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible, "Love also requires sacrificial action. It involves doing something specifically, placing the wife's needs before his own, such as doing something for her that she hates to do. It also involves self-denial, such as giving up something he would enjoy doing in order to do something she would like to do. This kind of love arises out of a commitment of the will." Allow me to repeat that. "This kind of love arises out of a commitment of the will, not just passing feelings, not just passing emotions, fleeting little things. Different people feel loved as a result of receiving different expressions of love. Giving words of affirmation effectively communicates love to some people. Giving quality time does to others. Giving gifts, giving acts of service, and or giving physical touches communicates love to others. The husband who wishes to make his wife feel loved should discover which of these expressions of love best communicate his love to his wife." And that's why reading everybody's book on how to have a perfect marriage is a waste of time. Because the truth is, those little suggestions, those little tools, those little prefabricated tricks that some of these folks come up with that might do something in their marriage may not work in your marriage. I know some women, the last thing on earth they want is a bouquet of flowers. They will look at those flowers with disdain, and they will intentionally let them die on the counter because flowers are meaningless to them. Okay. And then you got some women who will be offended that you read a book that told you to take her out on something called a date night. And she'll look at you and say, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And you're getting your napkin and everything. "Well, I'm taking you out on a date night." "For what?" "Well, you read it in the book, didn't you?" "Well, I did get a whiff of it from Doctors Do Nothing. I thought, let's go. Don't even order any food. We can save this $60 and we can go grocery shopping." Everything that floats your wife's boat may not float somebody else's boat. Amen, somebody. There are some people who are introverted who would rather be home every night of the week They can't stand going to restaurants, and they don't trust the people making the food in the back. They going to a fancy restaurant does not mean anything to them but wasted money and wasted time. They be sitting there, now how much is this going to cost? $55 for a steak? Man, I can buy you 20 steaks for that. You can tell right now this is not a romantic dinner. Just go ahead on home and eat at the house. Because she'll say to you, what is it? You want this candlestick? I can buy a candlestick. We can stick it in on stick it on our table at the house. If that's what you want, I'll cut the lights on, cut the candle on. Look, I got a lighter. You know, I keep a lighter in the drawer for birthdays. You know that. This is a waste of time. So, it's just like I told my little brother. You can't deal with your wife the way I deal with my wife. I said, these are some basic principles I'm telling you as far as being the head of your household, unlike our father was. You can't roll like that because you're going to be miserable. And I'm a firm believer if anybody's going to be happy in the castle, it's going to be me. And because I'm not happy, then it's meaningless as far as everybody else being happy. I'm the head of this household. I'm going to be happy, and I want you to be happy. And I believe that everybody else will be happy if you're happy. And you don't have to do it like our dad did it. He didn't know any better. And we say that respectfully. But I said, now you can't deal with your wife like I deal with mine. My wife was born and raised in Jamaica. Your wife was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a different dynamic, my brother. And so, but these basic principles you can apply. But you got, his name is Tony, and they call him Tonio in college. And I said, you got to put your Tonio on it. Because everybody is different. Every man is different. Every woman is different. Everybody can't go by the same book. It doesn't work. So, love your wife. And love her unconditionally. And that means what it means in your relationship with her. I'm a firm believer that nobody knows. I don't know how God does it, but nobody knows what goes on between a man and his wife. Nobody really knows. Nobody will ever know. I don't care what kind of lies she might tell or he tells or whatever. Nobody truly knows what goes on between a man and a woman. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about that in the book of Proverbs. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery how that Christ and the church is still together. The devil can't understand it. As frail and sinful as we are, Christ still loves us. And we're still striving to serve him. People can look at it and observe. Nobody knows what went on between the queen and her husband. People tried to bring up this and that and this woman and that man and all kinds of conspiracy things. But nobody knows how they did it. Only God knows and they know. It's a secret between God and them, and God and you and your wife. It's a unique thing. It's a mystery. And marriage is a beautiful thing, in spite of what the devil says about it, in spite of what the world says about it, in spite of what TV stars say about it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a mystery. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the institution of marriage. Holy Father God, as you know, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade my marriage for anything. I wouldn't trade my family life for anything. And I thank you for using it to do great things in all of our lives and in the lives of thousands of other people. Thank you for using it even now. And it is a mystery. We don't even know how we made it other than you. For you're very much involved. And it is your marriage. It's not ours, and that's why you don't want it broken. You're the one who created this. And you're the one who has instructed us on how to do it. So help us to humble ourselves and stop trying to remake something you already made. Stop trying to tear apart something you have put together, and help us to humble ourselves and be obedient and do our part. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage for today is Psalm 85, 7 through 13. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There's no more beautiful writing in the world than in the Bible. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to love it, to cherish it, to obey it, and to live by it, and to apply it to our lives, and to share it with others in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, join me in praying for the estates based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. I believe all Christians like quietness and peace. I really believe that. I really believe all born-again Christians like quietness and peace. They may be extroverted individuals, but they like quietness and peace, and they don't like a whole bunch of confusion and mess. I believe all of God's saints are that way. A peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray for the president that we have, as we have prayed for every president since Ronald Reagan. We pray for President Donald Trump and his administration and his family. We pray it's good to have a boy in the White House, and it's good to see the boys growing up tall and strong. Only 11 years old, and he's taller than his mother and towering over the Christmas tree as it was being delivered on yesterday. And so it's good to have a boy in the White House after years of many girls. I believe almost 30 years of girls. And we pray for each member of the president's family. And we pray salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, provision, blessings upon his family, upon his staff at the White House, and all of the administration. We pray that you'll give these people wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And I know some people think these people already have it all. We don't know what they have. And so, Lord, we don't know what kind of debt they carry. So, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them and lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go in leading this nation and their affairs. Deliver them from their troubles. Deliver them from the gotcha crowd in every administration. And Holy Father God, we pray for the leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs and sheriffs. We thank you for them all, our military leaders. We pray for James Mad Dog Mattis. And Holy Father God, forgive them of the wickedness that they have done in causing taxpayer dollars to go towards an operation, a sex change operation. And Lord, this has not been dealt with thoroughly, and help us to deal with it. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for the leaders of all nations around the world. The peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all church leadership, the most important estate. And Lord, you know better than we do, but we appear to be in a bad state of affairs. And so, Holy Father God, help us in your church to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves to pray and to seek your face. And maybe that seeking your face in the Old Testament is connected to returning to our first love, and that is you. So, Lord, thank you for helping me to see that connection. But, Lord, more importantly, help me and all of us to do it. We pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. Revive us all again. Get the sin out of our lives. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us to confess it. And help us to be men and women who pray without ceasing. And Holy Father God, we pray for all current events around the world. We still pray, Lord, for the earthquake victims in Mexico who are still digging out of the rubble and still finding bodies and still suffering. We still pray, Lord, for the people killed and the families left behind from the people killed in Las Vegas, the people killed near San Antonio, and the 44 people who are unaccounted for in the missing submarine incident in Argentina. If that has not been resolved already, we pray for the comfort of the families who have lost loved ones in the earthquake in Iran and Iraq, for the recovery of those who have been wounded. We commit all of these family members into your hands. Have your Holy Spirit to turn their eyes towards you and it does not matter whether they are Muslim or not. We know that your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word, the precious blood of Christ can reach them. And we're confident in your power and in your might, your grace and in your love, for it is stronger than what we think. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. And we thank you for the Christians in media today. And Lord, none of us fully know why all of this cleansing and closet scraping is going on, but we thank you for whenever there is exposure of sin and wickedness and disrespect, Lord, that and reaping what we have sown is being cleaned up is a good thing. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to clean up the mess in America. It may very well be an answer to prayer to stop the sin and the wickedness in the major fields of life. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Continue to do it in the church as well. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for those who have sent in prayer requests, in the hundreds of prayer requests we have that we pray for today. We just pray for a few. We pray for Harjinder. Please heal him from depression and phobias and paralysis attacks. Bless him with all of the right medicines he needs and a good job to pay for those medicines. We pray for Kijo. Please help her fight against false doctrine. We pray for Kylie. Deliver her from severe pain, medication, addiction, and sorrow. We pray for Shante and Nakia, for her sister and niece to be healed. And Lord, we pray for Mindy, for her small business to find success so that they can live on the money, for her husband's job to be blessed and protected, and for their two daughters to be successful in their studies and work. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life blessings upon all of these dear folks. And we pray for those who have been saved, those who have gotten saved through the ministry, through the preaching of your gospel, through this ministry, Gospelite Society and Gospelite House of Prayer. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Carlos, we pray for Yudea, and we pray for Samanda. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus. People who are already saved, but heard the gospel preached and realize they need to get back right with you, coming out of a backslidden situation. We pray for Rodwell, we pray for patience, and we pray for O. We commit these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands, Lord, today. Let your will be done in all of our lives. Lord, we have no power. You have all of the power in your hands. So bless us today as you have in the past, and bless this Thanksgiving week as you have in the past. Glorify your holy name at the same time. Help us to be rapture ready. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled The Reason for Everything, Part 9, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. Living the rest of your life for the glory of God, he says, will require a change in your priorities. Amen, somebody. Your schedule, your relationships, and everything else. It will sometimes mean choosing a difficult path instead of an easy one. Have you ever done that? When you could have joined up with somebody and they could have made it easier for you, but you knew God wanted you to go the lonely, tough road. Boy, that's a weird experience, isn't it? When you know God wants you to go down that lonely, difficult road, when you could have gone down that easy path where you could have had all the help you needed. It's inexplicable. I cannot explain that to you. But by going down that road, you will get lifelong blessings, eternal blessings that you would not have gotten if you had gone down that easy route. It's inexplicable. I cannot explain it to you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can't help you. It would take me days to try to explain it to you. Even Jesus struggled with this. Knowing he was about to be crucified, he cried out, "My soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Can somebody say amen? Jesus stood at a fork in the road. Would he fulfill his purpose and bring glory to God? Or would he shrink back and live a comfortable, self-centered life? You face the same choice. Will you live for your own goals, your own comfort, your own pleasure, or will you live the rest of your life for God's glory, knowing that he has promised eternal rewards? The Bible says anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today, as always. We don't know how you do it, but we thank you that you do it. And Holy Father God, help us to follow your holy word. Help us to remember your holy word. Help us to obey your holy word. And if we have to go down that lonely, rough road to learn all that you want us to learn, that road of breaking and making and molding, that will reap lifelong and eternal benefits, give us the courage to go down that dark road, because we know that you will bring us out on the other side victorious. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, John 3:16, the words of Jesus Christ, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, you need to trust him as your Savior today, because the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you. That includes me. And because of our sin, we must go to a place called hell, because God cannot look upon sin. You cannot bring your sin into heaven. It has to be paid for and cleansed away. And since you cannot do that, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell because of your sins. And yes, there are many other blessings that will come with your salvation in time. But today, you can have the insurance and the assurance that your soul will not go to hell to spend eternity. So trust Christ today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you will be saved. Join me in praying what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Millions upon millions have prayed this prayer, or one like it, down through the years. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I can't see you, but I know you're there. I acknowledge that I am a sinner before you. You know all of the evil that I have done. I have broken parts of your Ten Commandments, and therefore I have broken all of your Ten Commandments. I have lied many times. I have stolen things that were not mine. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, my failures, my shortcomings, and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for all of my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.